best of food and drink. A glass of wine, a smile, a wink. Don't have a cow, don't make a stink. It's Lucy in the kitchen sink.
Hey, New Haveners, and welcome back to another episode of Kitchen Sink. Earlier this week, I was lucky enough to sit down with Dean and Professor Ryan Brasso and graduate students Sam Linden and Sylvia Ryerson to talk about the final project of an Intro to Public Humanities course at Yale called Deep Roots. You'll learn about the idea of Deep Roots in the show, but I should tell you, the first voice you'll hear is Sam, followed by Sylvia, then followed by Ryan. Enjoy it.
Well, Deep Roots, Stories and Tastes of New Haven, yeah. Is the sort of culminating project of the Introduction to Public Humanities course, which is taught right here in Davenport College, which is a course that gathers folks from all over the university to sort of examine how the work that happens inside a university and the sort of the generation of knowledge can be shared in a way that is accessible and actionable by the public. And so that isn't just a very small set of academics, esoteric academics, talking about to themselves, essentially. We all come from very different backgrounds. I come from an arts administration background, so I'm currently doing an MFA in arts management at the School of Drama here, as well as an MBA at the business school. And so I come from sort of the background of running organizations which do this kind of work. But we have practitioners, so an undergraduate who's a documentary filmmaker. We have graduate students from the American Studies program, the African American Studies program, the History Department, as well as from a scholar of the ancient Hebrew Bible, coming from, the forestry school, so from all over the university with a bunch of different interests coming together. And so we had to, we were charged with developing this collaborative project. And we were all really excited about doing something that was experiential, and that sort of, and that also examined New Haven from a way that allowed people to engage in sort of multiple layers. And so that was sort of the genesis of where we landed on the idea of food as an anchor.
Just to back up a little bit for the Intro to Public Humanities class, we've been in together all semester. Kind of the first half of the semester was a discussion of like what the public humanities are. And so walked through a bunch of different fields, from museum studies, documentary studies, digital arts, history in the public, performance. And then sort of halfway through the semester, we were charged with, okay, we've seen all these different ways that of things that public humanities can be, and so how do we now think together as a group to do something collaborative, which is how we landed on Deep Roots.
And food, too. So one thing I was really excited about when I originally saw something for Deep Roots pop up on social media was, one, that it's Yale in the community, which I have seen a lot of wonderful iterations of, but definitely there are town gown politics in New Haven and in most college towns, but also that you're working with four specific sort of culinary engines, I'll say that, and we can talk about each one, that has its own identity and that are coming out of different neighborhoods in the city.
One of the first ones we landed on was Sandra's Next Generation in the Hill. We're trying to find a lens to examine culture and community, and as well as like stories of migration and stories of ethnicity and stories of race, and considering the sort of the individual characters of each of New Haven's neighborhoods. But Sandra's, it has become a place in the Hill where people, even, I as a, white graduate student, have gone, walked there to eat that food because it is outrageously good. It was one of the, I think, the first ones we landed on because it does have such a strong presence in that neighborhood and is so evocative of the sort of racial and ethnic makeup of that neighborhood, as well as having Sandra herself, this figure, who is both incredibly charismatic, but also incredibly passionate about what what she does and why she does it. And so I think it was a really easy choice for us, both because of what we wanted to eat and because of the sort of stories we were looking to tell and curate, and were really like the stories that we wanted to have told. And so it was, so that was a really, I think, one of the first ones we landed on as a group.
Another one is Lucibello's Italian Pastry Shop, an example of an establishment that's been here rooted for so long. It's been like a family-owned business for over 60 years. It's owned by the Faggio family, and it was originally established in New Haven in 1929. And it's just an example of like an ongoing strong tradition here in New Haven. So we wanted to showcase places that both are people finding new roots and also deeply rooted here for a really long time.
Speaking of the newest New Haven Sanctuary Kitchen, which is this incredible program, City Seed, a local sort of food justice nonprofit that does really, really incredible work helping recent refugees who have recently, you know, migrated to the, not only to New Haven, but to this country, establish food businesses in a time where immigration is such a hot topic issue, and like where there's so much like horrible things being said about immigrants and about those populations. It, I think, was important to us to sort of feature both an organization within our community doing incredible work, but also like the stories of folks who have, you know, fled from really untenable situations and arrived here and been able to make their living via food, and sort of like as a way to not only maintain the culture that they, you know, were forced to, the community that they were forced to flee, but really celebrate it in a way that has been really exciting for us. When we were filming the documentary short, as part of it, the chef Mona that we're working with at Sanctuary Kitchen, as part of our filming, she was just like whipped together some baba ganoush, and it was the most delicious baba ganoush I'd ever tasted. It was, and so that was like again a delightful perk, but it really was just, but it was also because it was Syrian baba ganoush, and so there was a level, you know, my personal history is much more with the, you know, Israeli / Middle Eastern. It had a pomegranate molasses vinegar topping. I mean, it was really like, oh, this is a thing I thought I knew, but I was able to experience it from sort of a different and, you know, specific cultural angle that I think was really, really exciting, and experience it both from this filmmaking perspective where we were talking about it, but then actually tasting it, which was delightful for a number of reasons.
Yeah, I had a similar experience when I got to go with some colleagues in class to Cositas Deliciosas on Grand Avenue in Fairhaven, which is a Mexican restaurant owned by a couple, Miguel and Cecilia. They opened originally as a grocery store in 2015, and they have this wonderful story where Miguel moved to New Haven when he was 15 years old and went to high school here, and then started working in restaurants in New Haven with his dad, and always had this dream to open his own place. And so bought this storefront grocery store on Grand Avenue, I guess 4 years ago, but it was not going well. They were making like $60 a day in the store, 12 hours a day, and he wasn't sure they were going to make it. And then he says this guy came in and was like, you know, I could sell you an Italian ice machine, and what if you started making like Mexican ice drinks? And so him and his wife decided to try something new. They bought the machine and they started making mango empanadas, which are amazing. They have chamoy and Mexican spices and fresh sliced mango. It's like this spicy, sweet mango ice. And so those became like wildly popular and kind of inspired Cecilia and Miguel to transition into becoming a restaurant. And so now they have this full food menu and this ice cream bar, fruit salad bar, and are really an anchor now in Fairhaven and on Grand Avenue. And I think that's what we wanted to show with each of these restaurants, was how they are rooting their community in that place. We went at like 9 in the morning, and there was a line out the door of people like coming in to pick up their semita sandwiches to take on their construction job for lunch, and people from across the community coming in. And Miguel talked about that when he's out in Fairhaven. His kids go to school there, his church is there, and he loves seeing people on the street eating the mangonadas in the summer or carrying their semitas bags like along Grand Avenue, and so how much really these restaurants are a community center, an incredibly important space in each of these neighborhoods.
Ryan, I want to turn it over to you for a second. First of all, like I'm wondering if you can define for listeners who are out there still scratching their heads over the term public humanities, because not everyone is familiar with it, what that means for the layperson. But then also, you know, teaching this class to probably entirely New Haven transplants, or mostly new, like 99.9% 0.99% New Haven transplants. I'm wondering what you were really hoping to achieve with it.
Ultimately, the way I imagine public humanities, I still scratch my head about what it means. I imagine it as how to take academic ideas and translate them into the world. You might think of it as applied academia. You might think of it as using different media and methods to translate traditional academic ideas that would normally be in print, normally be in the form of a book or a journal article, we'll say, and turning that into a podcast, turning that into a documentary film, turning that into a museum exhibit, or something experiential. That's really the point. It's a different way to consume a kind of knowledge created through traditional academic techniques, but presented in a very different way. In terms of the kind of work I think the class does, when I think about getting together a group of people, none of whom are from New Haven, at least in this iteration of the course. I'm also a transplant. I've been here for 13 years now. Being from Louisiana, this is still new to me in some ways. And every time I teach this class, I learn something new about New Haven. I think about new wrinkles and neighborhoods and nooks and crannies in neighborhoods that I haven't seen before. So it's a tremendous experience, I think, for all of us, because we all learn together and the city reveals itself to us in new ways every time I teach this course. The way I like to think of it is to say, if you're not from New Haven, you're going to be living here for at least 4 years if you're an undergraduate, maybe longer if you're a graduate student. You're going to call this place home, but will you know this place as home? And people here often talk about the Yale bubble, and in fact, it is a bubble. There's a whole world beyond the bubble, and it's a place that has intrigued me for a long time. When I first moved here, I was as far away from Yale as I could possibly be. I was the last left in New Haven off of Fountain in Westville, and I thought it was so brilliant to leave Yale and go into a real neighborhood with real people, with real neighbors who were from various backgrounds, various places. And now I live on campus, which means I'm in the belly of the beast. And so I'm always looking to push out beyond the bubble. But it comes back to how many students have ever been to Fairhaven, for instance, literally cross the tracks. There's a whole world there that reveals itself along Grand Avenue. What about the Hill? How often do people go there? If you continue pushing down and hit City Point, what does that look like? I'm not sure people explore all the nooks and crannies of the city. Ultimately, it's a way to draw ties and push people to think about New Haven as a place that is not necessarily Yale-centric.
Turning back to Sam and Sylvia, I moved to New Haven as a transplant, not planning to stay, and worked for Yale for 2 years and then realized I wanted to get out of Yale but stay in the city. But not that many people have that experience. So I'm wondering if both of you can tell me a little bit about what you've learned about the city.
So I'm in my final year at Yale. So this is, for me, year four of a four-year degree program. And it really was, I had never set foot in Fairhaven. And actually for the last 2 years have lived walking distance from Fairhaven. Like I live in Worcester Square. And so it was really like, it was a whole, area, neighborhood culture that I hadn't experienced. I occupy a sort of strange place because I also do, as part of my training at school, work at Yale Repertory Theater. And so I'm responsible for trying to do a lot of marketing audience development work. And so I sort of thought that I had a more comprehensive understanding of the local area than, many sort of more academic graduate students. But again, have learned a huge amount about the sort of cultural landscape here. It's complicated by the fact that, the two biggest employers in New Haven are Yale New Haven Health and Yale, by a lot. While they're, the fact that there are, that so much of New Haven does not revolve around Yale can sometimes be masked because it can be so hard to find someone who really does not have at some sort of Yale connection. And I think this really forced us to engage and embrace that aspect of the city that I think has been, that I think is so easy to overlook. It's been really illuminating for me as someone who wants to work in community as your sort of community driven cultural organizations, mm-hmm. to remember that you have to make an effort to see the parts of culture that you are primed not to see.
And in a way, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum because I've lived in New Haven for, I guess, 3 months now. I'm a first year in the PhD program here and will be here for who knows how long, at least 6 years, I guess. And so I feel really grateful to have taken this class my very first semester here. Even before choosing our project, we went on this fabulous city tour led by a community organizer from Junta, who brought us to a local elementary school and a community center and community health clinic. And was really, yeah, just wonderful and sort of seeing all these places that, like Sam said, there's a whole world that is a city unto itself outside of Yale. I actually grew up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And so it's different in a lot of ways, but it was like my experience of like, oh, like my growing up actually had nothing to do with Harvard at all. It's easy to feel like everything is centered around Yale, but it's really not at all for so many people in New Haven. But I think what I really am excited about our project, going back to what Ryan was saying about public humanities, I think to me, it's also about getting to learn from community experts that it's not that we are only bringing like our knowledge to some supposed public audience, but that we are learning from these community practitioners and that creating a platform for that knowledge to be shared with us in a way. So it's really a reciprocal kind of knowledge sharing. And so for me to get to hear about Miguel's story moving to New Haven and how he opened this restaurant and transformations that restaurant has gone through, I'm just really grateful to have gotten to learn from these community partners to learn about this new city that I'm in now.
Do you feel like you're more primed to be sort of cheerleaders for the city? I remember moving here and having a lot of people who I worked with warn me, oh, don't walk in this neighborhood at night. Or if you're coming back from Career High School, which is right in the hill, you should really take a ride share. You shouldn't take your feet. Do you feel like you now are more primed to challenge those narratives a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's interesting as a person who moved here at 27, having lived in urban areas for undergraduate and then for 5 years between undergrad and grad school, and moving and sort of starting at in a graduate program at the drama school, where a lot of my peers or classmates in other departments had not ever lived in a city. They straight out of undergrad. My first apartment was actually in West River. Every time I told someone where I lived, they would say, huh? Or they would say, you live there? And I was like, yes, I live there. It's a lovely apartment. The church next door every morning, every Sunday morning, there's the gospel band that streams through the windows. Like it was cool. And so I think as someone who loves cities, there's something that I've always been about that. But I feel like now I'm armed more to do that more effectively because I know, for me, it was always like, oh, hypothetically, this city is great, but I have no real data to back that up. Now I feel like I can actively say like, oh no, there is this place, there is this place. And I think there's like things we learned in the research process for this that didn't necessarily make it into the final project, but that were still really like, that are still exciting to be able to share and have just a more comprehensive view of the city.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to have these narratives be circulating because I think otherwise, as a Yale student, it's really easy for your main source of information about New Haven to be the public safety alerts that we get in our emails. And like, if that's the main thing we're being indoctrinated with as like this sense of like danger and fear of this geography, that is really destructive. And so I think that like, if anything, I think what this work is doing is showing a whole nother side of the story of this incredibly vibrant space that we're in. I don't know. It was like such a joy to get to see this local elementary school and how devoted these educators are and talk to the principal. And so like, just know that like those emails are just like one teeny little sliver of reality. And there's such a bigger reality here that I hope that this project will showcase in a small way.
Ryan, coming back to you, who are the public humanities for?
To my mind, if it's not reciprocal, it doesn't work. It has to be a dialogue, not a monologue. And how often, unfortunately, do we see university towns where the university becomes the monologue? And so I'm interested in creating a more dynamic situation. And so for me, the public humanities are certainly for us, and it's about learning about the city, learning about the community, and more specifically, learning about the people here. That's the great richness of New Haven. But also, I think that there are resources here that allow other folks to tell stories in new ways and in dynamic ways that they might not be able to otherwise. So it's about this discourse, this dialogue back and forth between Yale folks and, I hate to draw the town gown dynamic, but Yale folks and folks from New Haven, right?
Something that I think was interesting, one of my sort of jobs in this process was running the marketing, which ended up being pretty easy because it sold out with very little work. We made a Facebook event that we did not promote in any way, and we made an Eventbrite event, which we did not spend money to promote in any way. And it sold out within 4 or 5 days. 35 tickets. We intentionally made the ticket price as accessible as possible, just enough to make sure if people bought a ticket, they would show up. Of those 35 tickets, I think only two of them were registered under a Yale email address. And I don't know how many of those folks are Yale affiliated, but not using their Yale email address, but I know I tend to use my Yale email address for everything. So I'm excited at the idea that at least a good proportion of these folks, this program that is, you know, funded by Yale and organized by Yale people, but in a space, you're hosted by a space that is not a Yale space, working with organizations and community partners that are not Yale affiliated, and hopefully having an audience of folks who are not Yale affiliated, I think is really exciting thinking about who is it for and how can that dichotomy between town and gown be less strict.
I think it's a way for this. One thing I'm really proud of about this project is I feel like at Yale here we do have resources that are enormous, and I think that like we were intentional about like how do we use this project and space that we have to invest here in our community, invest in these local businesses, and invest these resources locally. And so maybe to talk a little bit about the event. So we are having a showcase event where we're going to premiere our documentaries about each restaurant, and we're going to have a little sort of like oral history presentation with each chef telling sort of the story of their restaurant. And so for that event, we're having a 4-course meal that's going to be catered 1 course from each of our partner restaurants, and really to sort of create a fellowship here in New Haven among all these people that have a stake in this place in different ways. But so I think, yeah, to me, that's another part of it is thinking about how we can use the resources we have to invest in our community.
In what ways does this project live on?
One of the things we're really intentional about is making this sort of a multi-tonal experience. And so we wanted something live, and we wanted something that was permanent. And so there's this event where there will be there will be food, there will be chefs, there will be talking, there will be sort of the premieres of these videos. But the videos will live on a website that will also have recipes for some of the food that our community partners are cooking. And there will also be a print version of that will be sort of distributed around. The idea would be you could, in theory, cook the food yourself, watch the documentaries, and recreate this event at your own kitchen table.
Also, we're sharing all of our photos with each restaurant. So, for example, at Cositas, one of the folks in our class, Adi, is this incredible photographer and took beautiful photographs of them making the food. And so we hope that can be useful for their Facebook page and website and stuff. But also, I like to think about the hard copy cookbook. We're giving a stack of cookbooks to each restaurant partner. I mean, I hope that they put them on their counter and sort of have it in that space. It's something that they can be proud of, that they participated in this. And I think one thing that helps me think about how to break down like the town gown divide is it's not just like Yale, not Yale, but it's actually how do these restaurants relate to each other? Thinking about like, what does it mean to have Cositas Deliciosas in a cookbook next to Sanctuary Kitchen, next to Sandra's Generation, and how in a way, like just because of the time we have in this class, we can sort of facilitate the interrelational relationship between these different neighborhoods. And we're just one part of this dynamic, you know, at this point, like 5-part thing. So I love the idea of, you know, on the Cositas counter having a cookbook that has a page about Sandra's Next Generation.
Ryan, just turning it back to you for the last question. Do you see this living on, you know, on the website, but within this bigger framework of public humanities courses? I can't help but thinking, even as you're talking, about the fact that, for instance, like there are now Sanctuary Kitchen events that are held in community gardens in the Hill, probably like a 15-minute walk from Sandra's, because that's where Iris has been resettling Afghan families. And so there are all of these very cool connections. You're absolutely right.
So I imagine this work as being rooted and based in relationships. Mm-hmm. And so in effect, what's happening, it comes back to your point, Sylvia, that it's about putting people in dialogue and creating relationships across place and space, across people, across communities, neighborhoods, and so on. And so I feel like the great legacy of this is making a far more dense social network that connects all of us, in effect. So it's not just restaurateurs in this case, but it will be restaurateurs, people who will come to the event, certainly students who will be here for another few years. And certainly with us in public humanities, I say us, there are a number of us working in this kind of capacity here at Yale, all with a mind to how do we do better outreach? How do we engage people in a real, meaningful, and genuine way? And that, to me, is the real blessing of this kind of work. It's the relationships.